Wow, so good to be here. So good to be here with you guys. Wow, that's amazing. Praise the Lord. I just want to introduce my family to you. They would just stand here. They're in the front row. You guys just stand for a moment. So this is my lovely wife, Jill, Dean, Aris, my boys, and in between them, first-time visitors, Mark and Ira. So good to have them with us. Ah, so my wife and I just celebrated last month our 25th anniversary, 25 years together. Yeah, just so blessed, and 25 years of being my, you know, teammate and just doing ministry together. I just thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, we're from Montreal, Canada, and we pray that you pray for us, and we hope you pray for us, and we need your prayers up there. But God is doing a great work in Canada. God's doing a great work in Montreal with our Bible college, with our young people, and, you know, the church is doing well by the grace of God. So we really thank you for praying for us, and please continue to do so. Look us up on YouTube, Greater Grace Montreal, Church of Montreal. Like us, share us, and be part of us. We love you guys, and we thank you so much. We thank the ministry. Thank you, Pastor, and all your faithfulness has kept us these last couple of years. We are with you. We are watching you. We are being edified by your portions, and we need you. So thank you for being faithful, and thank you for following God and the calling of God for this city and for our ministry worldwide. So we appreciate that. So I just want to share maybe a thought with you from 1 Corinthians 15, and then I'll be happy to hear Pastor speak. So 1 Corinthians 15, let's see here. Verse 45, and it says, so it is written, 1 Corinthians 15, 45. The first man, Adam, was a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And then in verse 47, it says, the first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So, Father, just bless these thoughts right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been thinking about this theme of the will of God. And it's so healthy for us to think regularly, what is the will of God? Right? Because we could tend to be so earthy. Have you ever felt earthy? What does it mean to be earthy? But it's like the word in Greek there is basically dwelling in the dust, being dusty. It's so easy for us to just have like human viewpoint about our lives and just, you know, protect ourselves, protect Adam, live in self-preservation, be earthy. Live in our wounds, live in our bruises. And that's why it's so healthy to come to church. Because we come to church and we have to check ourselves. Am I like walking in the will of God, or am I living earthy? Right? It says, so Adam was earthy and he was a living soul. But the second Adam is Jesus, and he was made a quickening spirit. And that's so good. We come to church and we are quickened. We are revived, and we have to check our will at the door, and we begin to think in the will of God. Right? And what is it? What is it really to be in the will of God? It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And that's such a good verse for me. You know, that's what deals with my earthiness. He says, I beseech you, therefore, everything that I've spoken to you about in the last 12 chapters, everything I've presented to you, the doctrine, the teaching, the doctrine of salvation, justification, sanctification, your positional truth, the fact that there is no longer any condemnation, the struggle that I had in Romans 7 with being earthy. I want to do what is good, but I can't do it because I am earthy. All these things that I've spoken to you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you are to present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is the will of God for us? But this is it. It's to come to the cross. It's to bring our Adamic nature, our preserved flesh, and it's to present it to God as a living sacrifice. This is the life of the cross. This is what our ministry teaches. This is what I've grown up listening to, the cross. That we bring Adam to the cross. And we don't try to protect him, but we present him to God. Our bodies. Because it's our reasonable service. It's reasonable to do this. You know, I saw this video on this, you know, somewhere on the internet, social media or something. And it has this guy, he takes his son's video games and he puts them in a pile in the backyard and he gets on his John Deere lawnmower. I don't know if you've seen this. You might have seen this. And his son comes running out of the house and he runs over the video games, you know, this huge pile, and they're like breaking into a million pieces, you know. And the son is looking, he's like horrified. Like just his face, the whole video is really about his face. He's like, somebody just put their hand in his soul and ripped it out, you know. He's just horrified, you know, and his father's like, that's it, I'm done, you know. And it's funny because I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, this is how it is sometimes with us when we're earthy. We think that if I go to church or if I actually give my life to God or if I present myself to God, that God is going to, like, put all my fun stuff in the backyard and jump on the John Deere and run over all of it, you know? We have this crazy, and so we want to preserve it, you know? We want to say, no, you know, I'll live in my earthy life. I'm safe, you know? And that's not at all what God wants to do, you know? But he wants to give us the quickening spirit. He wants to quicken us. He says, present your body a living sacrifice. I'm not going to take anything from you. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you my will. I'm going to reveal to you my will for your life. And where do we learn that? But we learn that in the assembly. We come to church and God deals with Adam. And we don't have to protect him. We just present him. And we present it as a living sacrifice, right? It's not like the Old Testament. It's not like the dead sacrifice, animal sacrifices. No, we go through the cross and we come out living. We are living in our calling, living in our position in Christ. We are living in the power of God as a quickening spirit. And God does that if we present ourselves. And if you continue to read in Romans 12, it says this is the perfect will of God for us. So I just want to thank you for living that way. And I thank you, Pastor, and all the staff here, and just all the encouragement we have, because you've taught us to live this way. And it's the best way to live, isn't it? Amen. Amen.
Okay, you may be seated. Right, so Lord, we pray you would give us the word this morning. We have come to hear. We heard from Pastor James that our soul clings to the dust. We are of the earth, earthy. But when we come to you in faith, you quicken us. We are of the Lord from heaven. We are born of him. We dwell in heavenly places. We are your anointed people, empowered, given grace, walking in your presence. Please teach us in Christ's name. Amen. Let's start with a verse in Hebrews 13, then we'll go to another place and we'll go back to Hebrews 13. Maybe go to one other place and go back to Hebrews 13, okay? So let's go. Turn with me, first Hebrews 13, verse 8, one of your favorite verses. You can say it out loud with me. Are we there? You okay? Is it up there? Nope. Okay, you don't bring your Bibles anymore, do you? Okay, so we got this. Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's our subject today. Christ, Jesus, the only wise God, the only God that does not change, that is everywhere present, that has all knowledge. The only God that came into this world to reveal himself to us as God. Our hands have handled him, the apostle said in 1 John chapter 1. Our ears have heard him so that his voice is still ringing in our ears. The Greek brings that out, Kenneth Wiest, the theologian and scholar, is still in our ears, his voice. Our hands have handled him. We have seen him. We have studied him. We have seen him. He is the Christ, the Savior. He is alive. He is real. He is important to us. Pastor James quoted from Psalm 119 where it says that our soul clings to the dust, and he quoted actually from 1 Corinthians 15, we're of the earth, earthy. I like that. It reminds me of a conversation we had with our family at the Thanksgiving table. How many of you had conversations at the Thanksgiving table and you survived them? Well, I asked the folks at our table to have a discussion with the person next to them or across the table, just like we do in the church here, and I would lead them in the conversation. And it comes from a teaching of Martin Luther in the 16th century. As a Christian, he said that men have idols in their lives, and he mentioned four of them that I remembered, and this is an interesting message. He said, men have the cave as an idol in their life, and what he meant by that was their home, man's home. I don't mean the man cave, though we have those, but a woman's home or kitchen. Her immediate family, her security, a man's home, his home, his TV, his lazy boy chair maybe, or his little coffee cupboard, his home. He has a cave. He has a place where he feels relaxed and comfortable. Men have this as their God. So we had a talk at the table about it, and I enjoyed being with the family and thinking about these things and teaching them about idolatry, because we have idolatry in our hearts. The things that we love, we can love too much. The things that are of the earth are earthy, and so are we. We are attracted to them. We need them. A warm blanket, a warm bottle of milk, a medication, a pair of eyeglasses, a comforting hug. Yeah, this is all normal for us. This is how we live our lives. The second idol, he said, was the clan, the family, the tribe, the people group. We are Chinese. We are Korean. We are Puerto Rican. We are Colombian. We have Antonio over here. We love you. We have Russian and Hungarian and Romanian, and we have Turks and Cypriots and Jews and Iranians and so on. Our group of people can be an idol for us. It can be important, but is it too important? The third one was marketplace is an idol. The mall, Wall Street, the money, the bank, and so on. I want to make a comparison between the gods of this world and the living God, the God that does not change, the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God that transcends the world, the God that is not of the earth, but he's of the heavens, that he came into this world to set us free and give us a new life. We heard it so well taught from Pastor James this morning, and it stirred my heart. We spoke about it at 9 o'clock, and then he shared that message. The fourth one is the theater. We could say maybe entertainment, the social connections that is relaxing for us, maybe the NFL, maybe you like football, maybe the club, the group of people that you are with that is somehow entertaining us. This is all normal. That's the amazing thing about it. All of these things in themselves are not bad. They are a normal part of life. Everything we have, even our food, our physical life, the air we breathe, the warmth we have in our homes. But now comes something interesting about it. So turn with me now to Ecclesiastes. We will get back to Hebrews in a minute, but Ecclesiastes, this was my meditation last night, and I want to just point something out to you about this amazing book of Ecclesiastes. It is actually one of my favorites. Ecclesiastes is the perspective of life when God isn't real for you. When God is not real, I look at life, I believe in God, I can talk about God, but I find very much in Ecclesiastes this philosophy. Let us eat and drink and be merry, because tomorrow, what? We die. It's perspective of life under the sun. What does it mean, under the sun? On the earth, we are under the sun. We are of the earth, earthy. We are under the sun. And we find life to be vain. We find us losing things. We find us losing, well, the list that I have up on the screen. I have my home, and then somehow it's possible that I lose it. I will lose it one day, because I will die one day. My family. One day I have Thanksgiving dinner, and one day somebody is missing, and one day my seat will be empty. I will be gone. These change, these earthy things. It's sad when people have only this. At our dinner table, one of the people at the table said that they worked in the hospital and there was a man dying. He was 60 years old and he was dying, and he told, I think it was my son who was working there, he said, or my daughter, I don't remember which one said it, but he said, I have given my life to my business. All my life I've spent my life in my business, and I've made a mistake. I should have spent more time with my wife. I should have been more with my family and my wife. And there was silence at the table for a moment, and we were thinking about it. And I said, isn't it possible that I would have one God all my life, and at the end of my life say, oh, I should have been worshiping another God, another one of the same kind? We've thought about it. What is it about these four and the many others that are in our hearts is that they are not God. They are not God. They change. They change. They disappear. They change. They increase, decrease. They lead us. They mislead us. They are not dependable. They are not the answer for our lives. They're not what we are really made for. They're not what we're looking for. Jesus Christ, the same. That, why does it say the same? Because in Timothy, it's written there in 1 Timothy 1, he is the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. I wish we could take a few minutes and think of those words. Well, you can do it with me now. To the King. We all need a King. You need a King. You and I need a King. We are made to be subjects. To the King, eternal. An eternal King. Not an earthly king, an eternal king, immortal. He needs to be like glorified beyond flesh. He needs to be immortal and invisible. He is the invisible God because nothing could ever contain who he is. He is spirit. We cannot see him. He is not of the earth, earthy. He is the heavenly. He is invisible, immortal, invisible, the only. Now, I read this past weekend that the Jews in paganism, I'll put here paganism, they had many gods, and I'll just write down, I'll make some pictures, and they just have gods. And do you know what they said about it? They said that the pagan would worship this god, but then they'd have to go back and worship this god. And then there would be a worship of this god. They go, okay, then they have to worship this god. And they could never be loyal and committed to one god. Added to that was the jealousy between the gods, that if you worship this god, you may get in trouble with this god. Doesn't it look confusing? Isn't it contradict our nature? Isn't it foolish that we would have such gods that are not God? And what happened to us when we heard the gospel was that we gave our heart to the only, right? Let's put the word there, the only, and then wise. How many wise gods are there? One. There's only one. Jesus Christ, who is he? the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that doesn't change in time like our mortal bodies do. Turn to Ecclesiastes 12, and I want to just show you this in verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. I had my grandson on a little motor vehicle, and I watched him the other day and enjoyed, he's 2 years old, and enjoyed him enjoying it, and I thought of this verse. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. Let me draw a diagram of that. Let's go look at it like this. Here's my history. When I'm young, as a child, these days, if I could store them up and remember them, and the happiness that I have with those childhood days, that'll help me before the evil days come and I grow a beard. And I'm kind of bent over. And the evil days come. Look at verse 1 with me. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, for nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Meaning, when you get old and you don't like life that much anymore, you've lost your passion for life. Before those days come, remember your Creator. It doesn't say Savior, does it? Remember your Savior. It says, remember your Creator. Because this book is written from an earthly perspective. How can that which is crooked be made straight? It says in Ecclesiastes. By the way, how can you store up happy days to help you when you have the bad days? I don't know about you, but I think the bad days can be really bad days. And I live in the pain of the bad days, and my childhood days are not helping me that much. It's not the best advice. It's not the answer for my life. What's the answer for your life? Not your earthly life. The answer for your life is your heavenly life. It's Christ. Christ is the answer for your life. Now we go back to Hebrews 13 and we will finish as we read through these verses. I think some of the things that we have said is quite profound, so it takes time to process it. And just if you don't understand it, that's fine. You are here and learning little by little and growing. And we are good. This may help. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. The meaning of covetousness is greed, avarice, a kind of lust, reaching. Word for lust in the Greek is to stretch. Like, I want more. Give me another one. I want that. This is the idea. Our conversation isn't with covetousness. We have contentment. We are satisfied with the spiritual. Let's look at it. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. You're contented with what? Love. Love. Really? Yes. God is love. What do you mean, love? God. God is love, the Holy Spirit, filling me, satisfying me. I'm contented. Yeah, but what don't you want somebody's job? Don't you want somebody's wife? Remember the Ten Commandments? You shall not covet thy neighbor's wife. Don't you want a newer car, better car, better house? Don't you want more money? Don't you want what your neighbor has or what you see in a magazine or what you see on social media? No, I'm okay. I got it. I'm content. How can you be content? Because of God. Really? Is he that real for you? Yeah, he is real. He is. He is real. Well, how does it come? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the fellowship. It's the quietness and worship. It's a trust in him that he said he is enough. Well, isn't your God one of the, you know, don't you have like what everybody else has, you know, the cave, the clan, the marketplace, the theater? Right? Don't you have this as like the thing that is moving you and driving you and keeping you? No, I have something more. I have God. I have God in my life. God, honestly, it's God that gives me satisfaction. It's God that gives me peace. It's God. I don't want to. We're not boasting in the. We're boasting in the Lord, right? We're boasting in the gospel. We're boasting in the reality of Christ. He is not under the sun. He is seated in heavenly places, and he is enough. He is satisfying. He said it. John 8. Out of our belly would flow this river. So this is what the text is saying. Let's read it. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. How many conversations are with either directly or indirectly, or after they get in the car, they are talking about what they don't have or what they have, and the whole thing is like without God. Yes, come on. We are good. God is with us. Many times on the mission field, we didn't have things, you know. We have family talks sometimes about our past. And one Christmas, my wife and I, our Christmas was just some raisins, some pencils, some paper, and a Hungarian comic book, which they couldn't read. That was what we had for our Christmas. And I say that to honor our faith and to say we had such a happy time. Happy childhood, because of the way we think. We have something. We are satisfied. God is with us. Isn't it amazing? God is filling us. And we have seen our sisters and brothers in different circumstances, the people here and abroad on the mission field, and we have seen beautiful saints of God with this contentment and satisfaction. But in our culture, it's very fashionable to speak about what you don't have, what you're going to get, how you're going to get it, what you're going to get, you're going to get, you're going to sit in your stuff, whatever it is, and I'm going to be happy as I get my stuff. And it's like, don't be too sure of that, because your stuff does disappear. It does disappoint us. It does leave us empty. What about another way? I have what I have. Thank you, Lord. But I need to see you. I need a fresh vision of you. I need freshness in my heart. Please renew my mind that I would understand life the way you do. And see life in the Lord. Say, you know, you have only a certain number of days on earth. Enjoy them. If you have one child, enjoy the child. If you have 14, enjoy the 14. If you have nothing, enjoy me with your nothing. If you don't have what you think you should have, then just get used to me and hear from me and be built up in me and know that I am your God. I am Jesus Christ. I am the one that will not change. Let's go to the next verse here, chapter 13, verse 5, part B. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that enough? Jesus is with me. Is it enough? I have to learn that. I want to learn that. I know it a little bit, but oh, I love it to think about it. Isn't it good? I will never leave you. Am I enough? God could say that to us. Am I enough for you? Am I enough for you? One day, maybe some of us very healthy people may be very, very sick. And God say, I am here. And we say, you are enough. Maybe some people secure financially. You might not be one day. Is God enough? One day with our family or our wife, and one day she's not there or he's not there. Is God enough for us? I mean, I'm just talking. I'm just saying this because it's written there. It's something to think about. Is it true that the Lord is saying you have idols and they are just changeable and they are not what you need? They are a delusion, a deception. They mislead you. That's not what your life is about. I want to teach you love. I want to teach you joy. Have you had any joy lately? Have you had Thanksgiving? And have you had a worship? And do you have this kind of attitude? Yes, Lord, by your grace, this is what I want in my life. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus, that in everything give thanks, to be filled with thanksgiving. I am alive. Thank you. God is with me. Thank you, God. We are not of the earthy, we are of the heavenlies. And our heavenly Father is what we make a big deal about. And we make a big deal about our King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Huh? I know you understand me. Look, go to the next verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you. These are the sisters and brothers, the leaders, the pastors, these men ordained of God to have good influence, rule over you. I always think of a coach. If I want to play tennis, I want to have a tennis coach that'll hit the ball back and forth, and I'd like him to teach me. He has the rule over me. I'm happy to be under him. I want you to teach me. I want to learn how to play tennis or run a computer or understand some technology or drive a car. I want you to rule. I want you to govern. I want you to help me. I want to learn because of you. You should have somebody like that in your life. And remember them, because they'll have a good influence. We need the influence. We are not neutral. We're always changing. We're always influenced by people. We're always being exposed to. We're always needing to be helped and corrected. And so this is what is said here, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. The pastor has opened the Bible and taught you the word of God. Remember that when you go home with your heart affected by a message, you say, God gave the message. I talked on the phone yesterday to a brother, and he said, every time I come, God speaks to me about something I've been reading or thinking about, or I need to hear it. And I go, just keep coming. Just keep coming. And he said, I have obstacles about it. I go, but overcome them. Just come by faith and just keep coming. You need it. We need it. We need the Spirit to speak to us. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. As old King James, it's a good word, but it's changed a little bit. It means we follow their way of life, how they live. They live by faith, like Moses lived by faith. I want to follow him. You know, like I want to follow him. I want to follow him. He followed God. I need somebody like that in my life. I want to follow. I can have a godly woman in my life that will help me and teach me and have an influence on me as a young woman or an elderly person or somebody who has wisdom and experience. And I want to follow. I need it. I need somebody that doesn't walk with these is their conversation. Always about the home. Always about the family, always about what to buy or sell, always about entertainment. It's like, is there anything more? I need fellowship. That's why we come here, because we make the effort to have God presented to us and that we would see him as our God. And then we have these things in our lives, but they are not our gods. Yes, we have a family if God gives it, but God can take it away like he did Job. Yes, we have our people, but our people may not be, they may be foolish. They may be proud. They may be unwise. I want to have God's people in my life. I want God's people in my life. I want new friends in my life. I want God's people. If you follow God, I want to follow with you. I want to be with you. I've got God in my life. And not my prejudices or biases or opinions or selfishness or traditions or way my mom and dad did it. My mom and dad may be right in many ways, but they may not be right in every way. They may not be of God. I need people of God to lead me and help me and guide me in the Spirit of God. And I'll be with the people of God. Then what about the marketplace? We buy and sell and get gain if the Lord wills in James 4. What about the theater? It's a part of life. I get relaxed when I watch part of an NFL football game. I don't have a time to watch a whole game usually, but I might come home and turn it on, watch it for a while, because I like football. And it's entertaining and relaxing. And have a cup of coffee or a drink of something, or even eat ice cream, Hubby Tubby ice cream. Gallons of Hubby Tubby before going to bed. No, I don't know. Wait, whatever it is you do. It is not a bad... I don't know about the dietary part of what I'm saying. I'm not saying... Like, get a grip on your life. By the way, elderly people, don't stop moving. Keep moving. People that have a little bit of extra weight carried around, that's okay. You just keep moving. Keep moving. Don't stop. Don't get sedentary. You'll die. If you stop moving, you're going to die. Don't die. Glorify God, okay? Hey, our God is a living God. He will answer our prayers. He will help us. Closing. Chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who is Jesus? He's so kind, quiet. He is so understanding and compassionate. Oh, wait a minute. He's like on fire. He's strong. Ooh, he has truth. Ooh, whoa, what? He said that? Ooh, that's like a sword in my heart. Yes, I need it. He's like a Navy SEAL. He's like an aggressive military combatant. He's on my case. He's pursuing me. Now, wait a minute. He is a heavenly Father. He is gentle and takes me in his arms and holds me. He is God. He's everything you need. Every moment, everything you need. You don't have anybody like him. Nobody could ever invent him. He is not in our hearts. Could never happen. There is no God like our God. He is the only wise God and the living God. Worship him with all your heart. Give everything to him. Trust him. And he'll help us manage in this world. I am so afraid, I am so sad that many, many people without God are consumed by these things. And that's all they have. They don't have God. And they suffer. Why is he suffering so much? Because he doesn't have God. If he had God and God was his God, he would not be there. God would deliver him. God would help him. God would comfort him. God would fill him. God would show him love. God would give him wisdom. God would show him the way. God would help him. And if he suffered, God would comfort him. God would restore him. He restores my soul. We that wait upon him will mount up with wings as eagles. No good thing will he withhold from him that walks uprightly. He loves righteousness and he loves his righteous people. That's you. And me. We are in good shape. We're in good shape. And if you read this afternoon that chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and see how his physical life is falling apart, he talks about his teeth, the grinders. He talks about his losing his desire to live. It talks about the grasshopper is a burden. He can't hear the singing anymore. It talks about his ears. His eyes are dim. It talks about the pitcher before the pitcher. The silver pitcher is broken. And the golden cord, the spinal column, the golden cord is broken. The pitcher, your cranium, is dashed to pieces. Yeah, before the man, he's deteriorating. And he's just getting old and old, and then it doesn't give any answer for that. It doesn't. But when we read in the Gospels, our God gave us the answer. 3 days later, he came out of the tomb. His pitcher was not broken. His eyes and ears, his grinders, glorified body. The earth, earthly, goes to the earth. But God did not make us to go to the earth. He made us to go to heaven and to live through heaven, through God, in this life. While our outer man is perishing, while our family may be gone, our home, maybe the marketplace collapses and the theater is empty. That's okay, in a sense, because the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me, because he has said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. And because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, forgive me for treating you like you're not that important. Forgive me, forgive us, Lord, for being distracted from the reality of who you are. Because you pity us, you know our frame, we are dust, you pity us because we are like children that are foolish, And we don't know what we're doing. But you never give up on us. Never. Never give up on anybody in this room. Anybody listening never gives up on us. He's there. I will never leave you. Never forsake you. I am not like other gods, which are no gods. But the figments of man's imagination, the invention of his own heart, his own betrayal, his own dastardliness and wickedness. But you are God. Thank you, Lord. Help us to reach others with the message of God. Help us to live the life so that people can see God. Help us speak to say things that people will hear God. Help us to live on this earth to the glory of God. And would you do great things through your Son for your glory? The three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den, and no limit to what you can do because of who you are, in Jesus' name. And then anyone saying the prayer, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. You are born again. When you say in your heart to God, I believe and I trust in you, then you are born again, born of the Spirit. Write it down in your Write it down, the date today, November 29th, 2021, and just say, today is my spiritual birthday. And walk out of here a child of God. Do it today, in Christ's name. Amen.